This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run together with Wong Xiaoning, Shazana Mokhtar and Tan Chen Li. Moving along to Afghanistan, because the United Nations has sounded the alarm over the situation, describing the country as hanging by a thread, with more than half of the 40 million population facing acute hunger.
Humanitarian aid and financial flows to Afghanistan have been halted since the Taliban's return to government, with donors seeking to tie aid funding to conditions such as the upholding of human rights. But as countries haggle around the diplomatic table, the collapse of the economy in Afghanistan has plunged up three-quarters of the population into poverty and impacted the delivery of basic services such as education and health care.
So can the international community act to prevent humanitarian catastrophe in Afghanistan without emboldening the Taliban government? Joining us on the line to discuss this is Harizal Hezri, who is the chief executive of the Institute for Strategic and International Studies, or ISIS Malaysia. Good morning, Harizal. Now, Afghanistan was heavily reliant on foreign aid even before the US withdrawal and the return of the Taliban government. Post-withdrawal, how has the blockade of foreign financial assistance and sanctions on the Taliban affected the Afghan economy?
Hello. Hi. Good morning. Thank you for inviting me for your show to talk about Afghanistan. First of all, let's just be very clear. I think the word blockade is probably not the best word. I don't think there has ever been a blockade on financial assistance to Afghanistan. What there has been is there has been two resolutions that was passed at the United Nations. But these resolutions was passed back in 2011 and 2015, long before the Afghanistan walked back. The Taliban walked back into Afghanistan, to Kabul. Now, this resolution basically put sanctions on individuals and entities that who are related to Taliban because they are deemed to be a security threat. Now, because of that, a lot of the aid sort of like channeled through the United Nations could not go through, obviously, after the Taliban walked into Kabul. Around 40 to 50% of the current quote-unquote government in Afghanistan is people who are on the list of the terrorist list and associated with the Taliban movement. So that's number one. But the effect of that is quite similar to what quote-unquote a blockade is, meaning humanitarian assistance has not went in. Now, the reason why I wanted to clarify this is because I want people to be very clear of the international community's approach to Afghanistan. There is a very clear division between what we call the Afghanistan people and the Taliban. Now, that becomes a little bit complicated when the Taliban walks in because anything that is imposed against the Taliban would eventually affect the people in Afghanistan. So obviously, because of that, international community has stopped channeling their resources through the United Nations because it could not go, to the humanitarian assistance field in Afghanistan through two of these sanctions, two of these document, if I'm not mistaken, number 2255 and 1988. Now, however, now there has been a U-turn, and this was basically tabled by the United States of America in December, whereby they have now said that humanitarian must continue, and it was passed essentially unanimously at the Security Council that humanitarian aid must continue to go into Afghanistan. But we're looking at a drop in the sea. Quite frankly, the whole system has crumbled. I think the UN is now trying to rally the biggest aid drive for Afghanistan ever in the history of the United Nations. We're talking about around $5 billion. UNHCR itself is driving around close to $600 million US dollars starting from January. So these are big announcements that has been made. But from my opinion, even if this money flows into Afghanistan, the biggest problem is that we have a structural issue in Afghanistan. And although this money, even if it could actually flow and it could get to the people, it will only form a very temporary measure to address what I think is the biggest humanitarian crisis in the history of mankind.
Right. I think you've painted a very dire picture of what's happening on the ground there. And the fact is, international community has acknowledged this. They know it's happening. But yet, it's very difficult still to channel this humanitarian aid, which, as you mentioned, it would just be a band-aid. Can I draw your attention to a U.S. decision recently? President Joe Biden announced a plan to use $7 billion U.S. dollars in Afghan central bank assets that were frozen in the U.S. for humanitarian aid. But he also wants to take a portion of that and give it as compensation for families affected by 9/11. I think this has caused a bit of an uproar, especially within Afghanistan. What do you make of this decision?
There's no easy solutions to these things. But the uproar, in fact, it's not just in Afghanistan, it's all over the world. And I really think this is an extremely poor decision. You do not, force a poor entity, individual, a country or whatever, to pay debts at the time when they are extremely in dire of support. And in simple layman terms, that's what Biden is doing. But this is hardcore politics. This is not just about the dollars and cents. This is about trying to push the Taliban into a certain direction. So we get that. But unfortunately, the effect is going to impact, normal people, children. 9 million, 9 million children in Afghanistan has been denied, schooling. We're looking at famine. Women, the offices for fertility and women care in Afghanistan has crumbled. 31 out of the 34 offices in the provinces have closed. So we are looking at a country that is falling apart, and it is, the message. Or at least the narrative that Biden is sending to the world that he's freezing this money in America, and only half of it is going to be used for humanitarian aid in Afghanistan, and half is actually going to pay for compensation to the families of September 11. I think if we ask the families of September 11, they probably think this is not the right time. At least majority of them would think this is not the right time to ask for compensation. But again, these are political decisions, and it's designed to achieve, other targets. It's not about the dollars and cents, but unfortunately, that's what's going to really affect the normal people in Afghanistan. And I think I would like to quote Hamid Karzai just 2 days ago, mentioned that what America is doing is affecting the people in Afghanistan, when the people in Afghanistan is as much as victims like the September, the families of the September 11 tragedy. So what you're doing is that if you're taking the money away from Afghanistan, you're not going to make the Taliban weaker. You're not going to deny Taliban anything. What you're denying is you're denying the same victims as the September 11 victims in America. In Afghanistan today.
Okay, so definitely a tone deaf move on President Biden's part. The international community is seeking reassurances from the Taliban government that human rights will be upheld under its rule, including for women and girls. How would you assess the actions versus the rhetoric of the Taliban on this front?
Yeah, I think the biggest issue here is trust deficit. Nobody trusts the Taliban. excuse me. And that's the biggest problem. We have seen that the Taliban first stopped girls from going to school. That was around last year, to secondary school at least. And then they turn it around and they say that all girls will be back in school by March. Now, this is partly international pressure, but also we have to remember that the Taliban is not an organized force in Afghanistan. It is not run effectively. As an organization, there are many factions to that, what we know as Taliban in Afghanistan. And decisions are not made and executed from a single entity or structure. And this forms the biggest problem. So if you ask me, which Taliban how I feel about the Taliban, my answer is which Taliban in Afghanistan, the northern, the southern, the central, they are not organized.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for your time. That was Herizal Hazri, Chief Executive of ISIS Malaysia, painting a very dire picture of what's happening in Afghanistan at the moment. And he calls it, what, the greatest humanitarian crisis that we are facing at this current time. And clearly, I think the world needs to do something quickly.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.